Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of If You Know, You Know, the show for Web3 creators and enthusiasts. I am your host, Belle, and each week I'm joined by Web3 experts to bring you the latest trends, opportunities, and perspectives from the creators who are shaping the future of technology and art. Nothing we ever say is ever financial advice, and it's always important to do your own research. If this is your first time joining us, we do this show live on X every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can also find us on any of your favorite streaming platforms. I'm super excited about today's show. I've just pinned up on the top today's link for today's show. If you can do me a favor and retweet it so that we can get, you know, get it on the algorithm. You know, we got to feed the algorithm gods to get some more people in here. I appreciate you for doing that. I appreciate you for showing some emojis so that it lights up on the algo. And with that, I want to introduce Winnie.eth. Winnie, I've been wanting to get you on the show for so long. You are the founder of Chipped, which in my opinion is such an amazing, useful technology in this space. I want to dive straight into it. And let me tell you, actually, so I've been in Web3 now for a couple of years, and I'm hooked on it, as many of you are, right? Like, we live on this, and we go to these conferences, and we talk to different people. You know how I found out about your technology firsthand? A friend of mine sent me a text message and said, girl, we got to get on this. This is so cool. So I want to share that with you, because listen, it's one thing to get on the, on the Twitter feed. It's another thing to get in chats. It's another thing to get in text messages. It's like three different levels, and you made it to that level. So talk to us, Winnie, introduce yourself, and let's talk about, you know, what you founded. I think that it is so cool.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me on here today. Hi, if you don't know me, I'm Winnie.eth. I am the founder of Chipped, and currently also building out something called Gossip as well, which is what Chipped is going to inevitably come under and be the face of all things in the little Chipped universe. But yeah, I started building Chipped probably about 6 months ago at this point, but the idea came up about a year ago. So we're talking recession core. We're talking it's too expensive to get your nails done every 3 weeks. And also, I'm a climber, I do a lot of sports, but I love having my nails done. So taking off my nails all the time just became really expensive. So I started doing them myself. And then when it came to, like, I was on TikTok one day, and I was scrolling, and I saw someone was putting an NFC chip in their nails. And I was like, oh my God, I can just order these from Amazon and put them in my nails. And it's going to make a really fun thing for conferences, because I have this absolutely huge, I have this unfathomable hatred of QR codes. I think that they are a monstrosity. I think they are the freaking ugliest thing that ever existed. Why is this black and white square our portal between digital and physical? I'm like, it's just the amount of like levels that you have to go through to even access a QR code. And it took a pandemic for us to even understand how to actually properly use them. So I used to have it on my phone for conferences. Like, oh, I'll grab my Telegram. Also, I can never find that QR code on Telegram. I swear it moves every time. There's some little witch who works at Telegram who keeps moving it around and making my life really horrible. So I started off by putting my Twitter in my nail. And then sometimes I would do my Telegram and then whatnot. And then we started doing credentials. That was one thing. And I was like, oh, cool. Now people can get an attestation to say that they met me IRL. And then people found this really fun, as they should. I think it's super fun. But it was just not scalable. Loads of my friends were like, oh, can you do this for me? Can you do my nails? And I was like, bestie, I do not have 2 hours to do this. Also, I only know how to do it on myself. It's like one of those super weird things. So I approached Kiki as a manufacturer to be like, hey, you have some great experience working in, you know, physical production. Like, this is experience that I'd never had. I've only ever shipped like software and, you know, just software products. I've never actually physically made something and worked in the manufacturing side of it. And they're like, yes, we would absolutely love to facilitate this side of things for you. So that was about 6 months ago. And then we had our first activation in Istanbul in November, which was amazing. We shipped over 200-250 attendees of DevConnect, a lot of them also being men, which was super exciting and like so amazing to just kind of see the response of men to the product that we're building, which is mainly aimed at women, because, you know, I think women need some tech right now. Like, we've been left behind for too long. We're building, you know, by tech girlies for the tech girlies. And yeah, it was amazing. We created like 1,500 data points over the course of 3 days. And that just kind of pushed me to see what's the extent of what we can do with chips and with these little nails. So that's kind of the origin story, I would say.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that is so cool because there's an actual use case. And I think that when we use things on ourselves, you know, when we find a way, when we go out of our way to do something for ourselves because we find it useful and other people start noticing it, it's just a byproduct of it. But a product is not good if even you aren't going to use it, or even if even you don't find a use case for it, you know. And a lot of really good inventions are sparked because of something that you needed. And it is a pain in the ass as a person that goes to these conferences and speaks and talks to and networks with people. It is a pain in the ass to always have to share your socials in different ways. To your point, I can't ever find the Telegram thing either. Like, it always disappears on me. And worst of all, we were at ETH Denver recently and the Wi-Fi was terrible. You couldn't get Wi-Fi at all at some of these conferences, especially inside of ETH Denver. And there was no way, you know, to even go into the Telegram and like do the 5-minute search to be able to show it to somebody, you know, and don't even think about if your phone dies on you, right, as continuing to use it. So there's so many pain in the ass things that get in the way, and I really, really think that it's cool. I want to dive a little bit more into the tech behind it, but before that, obviously, Winnie, you found a use case on it because you realized how important it was. But I want to talk about like your journey on how you even knew that it was such a needed thing in the space. How did you find NFTs? What is your background before?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I feel like I've been here many, many lifetimes. I've been in crypto since I was 20. I'm 27 in like 2 months. So I feel like it's aged me. I feel a bit weathered, but my background was originally in fashion design. So my undergrad was in fashion and I was doing an internship in New York when I was 20 years old. And a lot of my friends were actually mining Bitcoin. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm a broke intern who doesn't get paid to live in New York. Like I think I was living off $50 a week at one point. And 30 of that would go on the Metro card. So I was like, cool, I need to make some friggin' money somehow. And then my friends all told me about Bitcoin. And I remember it must have been like the 26th of December or whatever when it hit 8K. And I was like, oh, I'm too late. Oh, I was not too late. But I just became really fascinated with the technology in the end. I was a bit, I don't want to say like, how do I put this? I was vegan, right? Let's put it that way. I was very interested in like the sustainability side of fashion. I was an intern at Jeremy Scott and Moschino. And during the sample sale, I spent 2 weeks in a basement pricing items for the sample sale. And if anything had like a little bit of damage to it, you would have to absolutely destroy it. Like, take a pair of scissors, take a Sharpie, and just absolutely obliterate like gorgeous shoes, handbags, clothes. And like that, I hated that. So I really started to fall out of love with the fashion industry. I was like, oh, cool, this is really exploitative and it sucks. So as I kind of pivoted away from fashion, I went back home because there was all my gap year. And I'm from a tax haven. There's a lot of banks. My dad was like, you need to get a job. So I got a job working in finance in AML. And I was like, cool, this also sucks. Working in AML is technically just facilitation of money laundering. I was like, why am I, as like a 21-year-old who's not earning that much, paying more in taxes than these millionaires who are keeping their money offshore? And then like that just kind of brought back the whole conversation of crypto for me. Like, okay, cool. So I would spend my mornings clearing my accounts, and then I would spend my afternoons researching crypto. And I was like, it just kept, it was never like a, this is it for me. It was a very small, slow journey over about the course of 18 months that really pushed me into it. So I went back to finish my undergrad in fashion because otherwise I would have had to pay back my scholarship and I did not want to do that. But during that period, I got just, it was just like a snowball. And then in 2019, I was, you know, an off-the-cuff intern at Forbes and I was at London Fashion Week. And I went to this talk by The Fabricant and Megan McDowell from Vogue Business. And they were talking about digital fashion. And in my head, I was like, holy shit, this is the thing that makes so much sense to me. And I wrote my undergrad thesis back in 2019 on the symbiotic relationship of blockchain and fashion for sustainability and transparency. I got 42%, nearly failed my undergrad, and my professor called me an idiot. And a lot of things that I do in life tend to be fueled by spite and pettiness. So I then went on to study computer science and business to be like, I'm going to go build everything that she said I can't build. I'm going to go do it. I was like, this makes sense to me and I'm going to follow it through if it kills me. And yeah, that's pretty much how I got to being full-time in crypto. That's pretty much it. And then just kind of dabbled for a while during COVID. It was just what we did. I was never in Clubhouse, to be honest. I was quite late to the whole thing on like NFTs. So I was very much on the DeFi side of stuff before going into NFTs. And then I got into NFTs probably in I was in like CryptoKitties and stuff, but I don't really consider that the NFT world that we went through in 2020, 2021. So yeah, I started in 2020 and in 2021 co-founded Shilla.xyz, which was, you know, a growth agency, I think I would call it. It's now more of a media thing, but worked with some of the most amazing people in the world, like Fungible and Bernardo, to just building trust. Like my whole thing that I've always really loved is like building trust in a trustless system. I think crypto is great. I'm pseudonymous, but I think especially when it comes to this, building trust and proof of humanity is one of the most important things to be doing. So yeah, worked on a few. When I left Chiller, I kind of like bopped around a few BD spots for a while. And then after this summer, I was like, I need a passion again. I need to like fall in love with why I came here. Because I feel like a lot of us have lost our whys recently. And I think it's so important to come back to our whys. And that's why I started Gossip in September to just be like, you need to get the ball rolling with something. It doesn't matter what it is. We gotta hit the ground. It's gotta be something with trust, something with proof of human. And then, yeah, everything just started to fall into place from there.
I would love to hear more about Gossip.
I can't really share too much on it right now, but I'm very excited. But hopefully in a few weeks, I can share a bit more.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. My screen froze on me and I was like clicking on the little thing. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mute myself and stay muted. I apologize for that. Okay, cool. So, I'm wondering if I can squeeze a little bit of alpha out of you. Just a tiny bit.
With regards to Gossip?
Yes.
That's exactly a proof of something to do with proof of humanity, trust, building trust, aggregation, socials. But my whole thing is very much moving. How do we start building systems that aren't, you know, slap in the face financially aligned? I feel like with what a lot of people are building in this space, it's all about just making money first and not actually looking at the people who don't view the world that way. And I know for a lot of us, it's really difficult to look outside of our echo chamber and actually understand that there are people who just use the internet for fun. There are people money is also scary to a lot of people. And when you lead with the whole idea of financialization, it's like, well, what's the catch? Like, this is a scam. So for me, it is just very much, you know, it's building for the people who don't understand what we do here. And I think that's just been a massive issue with a lot of the products that have been built here, is that we're building for us. We're not building for other people to come in. We talk about onboarding the next millions through whatever, but it's like trying to convince some people to put 50 quid in a slot machine is not easy. And that's what a lot of this stuff is. And like when you're building a lot of applications here, it's just throwing 50 quid at a slot machine. I think it's actually so much easier to get someone to spend 50 quid on a product, on something that they actually will use and enjoy. And then maybe financial incentive comes, you know, down the line, they get rewarded for something or whatever. But to lead continuously with the financialization, the hyper-financialization of everything, is not how we're going to onboard the next million users.
There's been a lot of reports, specifically this week, I've seen a lot with, you know, the run up on the price of Bitcoin across the board, and then this mini crash that we're experiencing. And so a lot of people have been reporting on the number of wallets that we are seeing right now. And across the board, we see that we're trading against each other, that we're just buying, you know, the same echo chamber that we've always had. There's not a lot of new wallets coming on board, even when you consider the Ordinal side. You know, some people would argue, well, on the Ordinal side, we see a lot more movement on that side. But honestly, it seems to be the same people that already have embraced Web3, that have already embraced blockchain technology, are also embracing that. So I'm really curious just on your overall viewpoint on where you see the space today. You know, with the dynamic that we see today, in that so many people are participating, maybe as of yesterday, it's dead, who knows, but on the pre-sale meta of let's go, let's go, let's go, on the pre-sale meta, the prices are dropping and not so much, you know, we're not seeing so much building on the other side. So just curious to see overall what your thoughts are on where we are today.
Bro, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of this. It's really, really stupid. Like, this is the stuff that, like, in 2021, when people would, like, release an NFT collection and then they would rug it, it's the exact same stuff, but we're allowing it now. And it's like, why are we getting so greedy that it's just pure, pure greed? And it's so frustrating. Like, we all have our little cabals, we all have our friendship groups, and we all do trade stuff. Like, I've bought shit coins, I've traded shit coins, I've had fun with it, me and my friends have had fun with it. But I just think the ethics in this space right now are just absolutely insane. And it's really sad for me. Like, I hate to say it, but I really love this space. I love it here. I have an ERC-721 tattoo. I've got Dot ETH tattooed above my elbow. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I genuinely think that blockchain is such an incredible thing that we can use to empower, you know, developing countries. You know, I'm very, not saying I'm anti-government, I'm really kind of anti-government. And I'm like anti-banks, I'm all about owning your money and owning your shit. But like, what we're building right now is a freaking joke. And I love anyone who is still building right now through all of this noise. It's distracting. It's exhausting. But yeah, I just think it's so frustrating. Like, you know, I have friends who are trying to raise for their projects. And then you see like Anson get sent like millions to put the freaking dog with hat on a sphere. Like, what are these idiots freaking doing half the time? And yeah, but yeah, it's tiring, but I still love it here. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult to explain it to somebody that's, you know, explain it to a normie, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was out with I literally tweeted last night, like, oh, guys, sorry, my gay coins chat is popping off. I wonder if, you know, the ticker crash Boeing 747 is, I wonder what's going on with my 100 quid that I randomly chugged into there 2 days ago. Like, it's trying to explain that to my friends. Like, I literally had this conversation last night at dinner, and just the perplexed look I got back was just like, what the frick am I doing?
I didn't even bother. I was trying to explain to someone the other day that what happened with the coin slurp, I think it is. About how the dev supposedly lost, you know, or burned the 10 mil, and instead of as a community instead of the DGens here being like, oh, to hell with that, or I'm so sorry. They were like, yes, even more, I'm throwing more money into that. How the heck do we explain that to somebody outside? And how do we expect for them to come up and embrace and realize that a lot of us here are for the blockchain technology, right? Like, I sympathize a lot of the frustration that so many creators are in this space, because the blockchain technology discussion, the art discussion, the moving the needle forward discussion gets lost in the talk of price go up. And hey, I'm a participant in all of those things as well. I think that they're fun. I think that they're you know, once in a lifetime opportunities in a lot of the time. But it's really hard when you're trying to build something that is serious, that is something that's sustainable, that is something impactful in the midst of all of that. Talk to us how wearable tech can potentially change that for a person that is curious about what blockchain technology can do, or how, like, why is it important for us to be able to access something so quickly on ourselves, on our body, on our person?
I think when you look at it from like an EAC movement kind of thing, like, we are moving in a way that wearable tech is becoming more and more common. You've got like the Rabbit AI pin, you've got the Apple Vision Pro. And I just think it's really important that like everything that is wearable tech right now is in your face. And I just think that that is just so kind of a, like, let's not run before we can walk. And I think that, you know, wearing something like Chip very much aligns you with, hey, I know what's going on. This is fun. It's, yeah, it's all about alignment with understanding where technology is going. And I just, like, there are some, like, it's, I always say, like, it's not solving a networking problem. We have enough networking solutions. The you know, your iPhone, when you put it together now, it shares your contact. That's inevitably the same thing. But I just think we're moving in a way, we're moving away from, like, the basic screens that we have. And, like, you know, we're taking the G out of the GUI, the graphic user interface. And it is just actually creating stuff that's memorable and fun and more experiential. I think that's just something that tends to be really forgotten about when building certain, like, physical products. And it is just like, you know, the, I'm going to be honest, the hit of dopamine that you get when people are like, holy shit, that's so cool, when they tap your nail, that's a KPI in my eyes. Like, people getting excited or being like, coming up to you, be like, oh my God, you're the nail girl, can I tap your nail? That is something that's just really fun and human, and it creates an experience. It makes you memorable. It makes, it's just adding another layer of humanity into how we share our information. I could say, I could go on, like, you know, on a BS route of being like, oh, like, when you scan a QR code, there's an extra, we could go down the Amazon route of being like, oh, it's one more step. We've removed the step and what it means to share your information. Honestly, it's just about creating really powerful and important human connections.
How do you think that we can quantify, or like, I think it's really interesting what you just said, that it's a KPI. I think that that's so cool. I think that you're right. You're absolutely right about that. How do we quantify or dive more into the impact, like the level of connection that we make with a person IRL as a tangible way, right? Translates into actual networking of, like, we're going to do business together, we're going to become friends, whatever it is that you are now connected on that actually benefits you in your life, instead of just, hi, I'm so and so and moving on. But how that IRL interaction impacts it instead of just having it online. Because a lot of the times, especially in our circle, when we meet people at some of these conferences, I'm about to go to New York, and I'm going to see a lot of the same people that I could potentially see already on crypto Twitter, right? It's not like I don't already have an access to here, to all of you, to everybody that's in our bubble of Web3. It's not like I don't see their name or know their PFP, et cetera. What's the big change? And I think that this is something so on the surface so natural that we kind of already know, but I'm not sure that we talk about it too much. What's the big deal about the IRL connection instead of talking to you as I am right now?
So welcome to Gossip Protocol. So if for those who don't know, what a gossip protocol is just a very specific way in, it's a gossip protocol, like also called an epidemic protocol. And it's actually just a process of peer-to-peer communication that is based on like how things spread. So about like, it's an ecosystem of nodes. It's how do we choose to turn human beings into gossip protocols? And wait, you had said another thing at the end that I really wanted to touch on, but I can't remember what you said. Sorry, ADHD.
I forgot to.
But you said something and I was like, yes, exactly that.
Does it make a difference between I'm talking to you, I meet you at IRL versus how I'm talking to you right now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So this, one of the things that I'm fascinated with is civil resistance and de facto civil and the other one that I can never remember. So it's all about like, how can we, when it comes to like these data, to this data, especially when we're building in an echo chamber and we're building, everyone talks about their users, like 90% of users of protocols are bots. So it's like, we're not building for people anymore. And when it comes to like airdrops, when it comes to, you know, proof of humanity, everything that we're doing is like, oh, these people are actually just bots. So I think it's incredibly important as we move forward and we start to kind of see this, you know, this acceleration of what it means for like wearable tech and humanity, like proof of humanity. Like, how do we actually do this in a way that's like genuine and sincere? Like, you can look at things like ADINA protocol, which I think went down like last year because people were creating systems that were using human beings to like mirror bots. And because of like the cost of certain things, it just made it like people were making money off turning human beings into bots. So for me, it's so important to see like who are we interacting with and like how, like who is actually a human being. And I think this is really important data and really important information for, you know, when you look at like airdrops and, you know, different tokens. It's super exciting to me, like the day, like, yeah, it's super cute and fun that you have this thing on the front end, but then how do we actually use that to encourage people to create these data points of proof of humanity that can then be translated into something a lot more valuable.
That's really cool. I pinned up on the top your video explaining Chipped, but I'm wondering if you want, like, feel free to pin up something directly about gossip, because I think that I think that we would all want to be aware of when you actually do start to announce something, you know, to be able to support you on that and finding out more about that. Because I think that the use cases for that are something that we all personally could benefit from and is really, really important. Are you planning on, how can we get our hands on these?
So for now, the chips are for pre-sale in the US only, working on that just because like my Kiki, our manufacturer, has like some issues with shipping to Europe. I don't get it, but they're for pre-order. But then also hopefully in a few weeks it will be, well, they're going to ship in about 2 to 3 weeks, I think, just finalizing a lot of random ass things. But for now, these nails are linked to Kiki profiles, but then outside of that they will be available to link to other things. So there's also some collaborations that we're working on as well. So we've got some really exciting things coming up at like Token 2049, and that will, yeah. So mostly just available through Kiki for now, but then we'll be evolving outside of that in the next few weeks.
Speaking of evolving, I want to ask you more of a generalized question, because I know that you worked, you know, in the fashion industry as well. Recently, I was watching this Netflix documentary that talked about the digital fashion and the industry. And I was curating for Mesh Fair, also something that was directly on digital fashion. And so I'm really curious also, you know, aside from Chipped, where do you see that side of the industry? And if you had a crystal ball, like 10, 15 years from now, how do you think we're interacting with it? Where do you see it?
So I love to be a hater on the digital fashion industry. I've been in it for, 5 years? And judging by the pace in which we have evolved in the last 5 years with digital fashion, we're going to be in the same place because we're still in the same place as we were 5 years ago, if I'm being totally honest. I think the lack of innovation in the fashion space is palpable. I think that, you know, putting a QR code to a VR Snapchat filter is not innovation. And it's just, yeah, it's been incredibly frustrating to be in that side of the industry for so long. But I'm hoping there's some really cool stuff going on with, I've got one friend, she's building like social commerce for clothing, which I'm really excited. Hopefully that can be a really exciting collaboration partner for Chipped going forward. But yeah, there's, I'm not excited about it, if I'm honest.
Well, that's underwhelming, right? What do you think?
Sometimes I am, unfortunately.
What do you think needs to happen? Like, it could it be, you know, a good kick in the ass to get it up? Or is that just something that's just not really looking that good?
Honestly, I think it's just, so having worked in the traditional fashion space and then gone into digital fashion, it's the same group of people, same circle jerk, everyone just doing the same thing and calling it innovation. And it's like, everyone's like, oh my God, this is so cool what you're doing. I'm like, no, like why, this is, it doesn't work. The tech isn't there. Like 3D wearables look awful. I don't know why we're still entertaining this as a business model, because everyone, it's just not, we just need to do something that's a little bit more interesting. And everyone is doing the same thing and just patting each other on the back for like not a lot. So hopefully some cool stuff comes about. I think fashion is going, should be the main way in which people start to interact with, you know, digital identities and all that kind of stuff, because like fashion is like the pinnacle point of what it means to identify yourself as, and that can translate incredibly well on chain. I just think we need to stop being so fluffy about it. And like, you know, like fashion is a very shallow industry, and it's translating into what we're building in Web3. And hopefully I'm just really looking forward to moving outside of that.
I love how transparent you are. You're just like, no, it sucks and it's terrible. I love it. I want to ask, if anybody has any questions, hop up here. We'd love to have you be a part of the conversation. And in the meantime, Winnie, how can we continue to support you? Like, what's your ask? I'm going to put you on the spot and share that with us. How can we continue to support you on your journey?
Just hanging out, really. Oop, frick, I was on a meeting just then. Oh my God. I actually joined a meeting and I was... Oh, sorry. I'm trying to like run a meeting, but I'm trying to be in a meeting and be on this at the same time. But and I just said, just hang out really, really loudly on this call. But we move. Sorry, what was I saying? So the support, yeah, just like, just hang out, just be part of it, get involved. Like, you know, nothing too difficult.
That's awesome. Okay, well, listen, I love that you're multitasking and on a meeting and with us at the same time. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about already that you wanted to share with us?
I think that's pretty much everything covered on my end, unless anyone else has any other questions.
All right, I gave it a second. I think that we are good. I know that you have a lot of admirers on what it is that you're building. I think that it is super cool. If I place an order, will I get it in time for NYC?
No, unfortunately not. But I can find you at NFTNYC and I can give you one.
What? Yes, please. Yes, I need it.
Yes, of course. Of course.
That is amazing. I'm so looking forward to that. All right. Well, listen, Winnie, it has been an amazing pleasure to get to know you, to know more about your business. I think that, you know, on a lot of different levels, I appreciate what you are building. Number one, as a woman in this space, we need more support. And so I love that you are building something that is embedded in technology and as nerdy as everything else that is out there. You know, I think that that is the way, and I absolutely love it. If there's anything that I can personally always help you with, please reach out. I'm going to ask for everybody on here, if you haven't already, make sure that you are following Winnie and that you are following her social media account. Make sure that you are retweeting and that you are liking, because that is the visibility in this space is the hardest thing to gain. So do everybody a favor and do that. It's been a pleasure having you on, Winnie. It's been a pleasure having everybody else join us. Literally, you could have been anywhere else and you are here. And I appreciate that so freaking much. So if you haven't already, make sure that you are following me so that you know of all of the amazing speakers and topics that we have lined up for you. We do this show every single Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you didn't know, now you know. And I will see you guys next week. Winnie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and eternally grateful for everyone who's continued to support me.
Have an amazing rest of your meeting, and I hope it wasn't too disturbing.
Thank you so much.
I'll see you guys on the flip side. Have a good week, everybody. Bye.